Feeling increasingly puzzled, Arthur let her left foot down onto the floor and moved himself around so that he could take her right foot. She moved forward, put her arms round and kissed him, because the record got to that bit which, if you knew the record, you would know made it impossible not to do this. She gave him her right foot. He stroked it, ran his fingers round her ankle, under her toes, along her instep, could find nothing wrong with it. She watched him with great amusement, laughed and shook her head. "No, don't stop," she said, "but it's not that one now." Arthur stopped and frowned at her left foot on the floor. "Don't stop." He stroked her right foot, ran his fingers round her ankle, under her toes, along her instep, and said, "You mean it's something to do with which leg I'm holding?" She did another of the shrugs which would have brought such joy into the life of a simple cushion from Squanchulus Beta. He frowned. "Pick me up," she said quietly. He let her right foot down to the floor and stood up. So did she. He picked her up in his arms and they kissed again. This went on for a while, and then she said, "Now put me down again." Still puzzled, he did so. "Well?" She looked at him almost challengingly. "So what's wrong with my feet?" she said. Arthur still did not understand. He sat on the floor, then got down on his hands and knees to look at her feet, in situ, as it were, in their normal habitat. And as he looked closely, something odd struck him. He put his head right down to the ground and peered. There was a long pause. He sat back heavily. "Yes," he said, "I see what's wrong with your feet. They don't touch the ground." "So," she said, "what do you think?" Arthur looked up quickly and saw the deep apprehension making her eyes suddenly dark. She bit her lip and was trembling. "What do..." she stammered. "Are you..." She shook the hair forward over her eyes that were filling with dark, fearful tears. He stood up quickly, put his arms around her, and gave her a single kiss. "Perhaps you can do what I can do," he said, and walked straight out of her upstairs front door. The record got to the good bit. Chapter 23. The battle raged on about the Star of Zaxis. Hundreds of the fierce and horribly beweaponed Zerzler ships had now been smashed and wrenched to atoms by the withering forces the huge silver Zaxician ship was able to deploy. Part of the moon had gone too, blasted away by those same blazing force guns that ripped the very fabric of space as they passed through it. The Zerzler ships that remained, horribly beweaponed though they were now hopelessly outclassed by the devastating power of the Zaxician ship, and were fleeing for cover behind the rapidly disintegrating moon, when the Zaxician ship, in hurtling pursuit behind them, suddenly announced that it needed a holiday, and left the field of battle. All was redoubled fear and consternation for a moment, but the ship was gone. With the stupendous powers at its command, it flitted across vast tracts of irrationally shaped space, quickly, effortlessly, and above all, quietly. Deep in his greasy, smelly bunk, fashioned out of a maintenance hatchway, Ford Prefect slept among his towels, dreaming of old haunts. He dreamed at one point of his slumbers in New York. In his dream, he was walking late at night along the east side, beside the river which had become so extravagantly polluted that new life forms are now emerging from it spontaneously, demanding welfare and voting rights. One of these now floated past, waving. Ford waved back. The thing thrashed to the shore and struggled up the bank. Hi, it said. I've just been created. I'm completely new to the universe in all respects. Is there anything you can tell me? Phew, said Ford, a little nonplussed. I can tell you where some bars are, I guess. What about love and happiness? I sense deep needs for things like that, it said, waving its tentacles. Got any leads there? You can get something like what you require, said Ford, on 7th Avenue. I instinctively feel, said the creature urgently, that I need to be beautiful, am I? You're pretty direct, aren't you? Well, no point in mucking about. Now, am I? The thing was oozing all over the place now, squelching and blubbering. A nearby wino was getting interested. To me, said Ford, no. But listen, he added after a moment, most people make out, you know. Are there any like you down there? Search me, Buster, said the creature. As I said, I'm new here. Life is entirely strange to me. What's it like? Here was something that Ford felt he could speak about with authority. Life, he said, is like a grapefruit. How so? Well, it's sort of orangey yellow and dimpled on the outside, wet and squidgy in the middle. It's got pips inside too. Oh, and some people have half a one for breakfast. Is there anyone else out there I can talk to? I expect so, said Ford. Ask a policeman. Deep in his bunk, Ford Prefect wriggled and turned onto his other side. It wasn't his favourite type of dream because it didn't have eccentric Galumbitz, the triple-breasted whore of Eroticon 6 in it, whom many of his dreams did feature, but at least it was a dream. At least he was asleep. End of side 6.